The World in Words is made possible in part by the National Endowment for the Humanities, celebrating 50 years of excellence.
Hi all, Nina Porzuki here, and you are listening to The World in Words, a podcast about languages and the people who speak them. And today I have Patrick Cox with me in the studio.
Hey, hi,
Patrick.
Nina.
Hey. So, Patrick, today I actually wanted to give you a short little quiz. Okay. What do toad suck, 84, burnt corn, ding dong, cut and shoot, Glen Campbell, and Cookie Town all have in common?
Sounds like they might be in a country song. I don't know. Wow.
Yeah.
Weird lyrics. Weird.
Band names? No, no, no. These are all the names of towns in America.
Glen Campbell is the name of a town?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Let me see. Hold on in my notes. It's Glen Campbell, Pennsylvania.
Wow. Is it named after
Population 306.
Is it named after the singer or someone else?
No, it's not. It's in honor of Cornelius Campbell, the first superintendent of the Glenwood Coal Company.
Wow. So maybe Glen Campbell, the singer, is named after the town.
Ooh, that's a good question. That I do not know. But yeah, these are all sort of crazy names of places in the United States. And I brought them up because we're launching a little series that we're calling Name Tag. So have you ever wondered about the story behind the name of a place? Like, I grew up on Linda Drive.
Linda, how do you spell that?
L-I-N-D-A, like the woman's name.
Oh, right, right.
And I've always wondered, like, who the heck was Linda? Was she anybody? Or was she just the developer of the small suburban community that I grew up in?
That is kind of strange.
Right. Have you ever had a question like this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When I first moved to the United States, I actually moved to Alaska.
Straight off the bat.
Straight off the bat. There was a direct flight in those days from London to Anchorage.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So when I first arrived in Alaska, of course, I was really taken by all of the names of Alaskan towns.
Unalaska?
Yeah, Unalaska. I mean, that's a weird one. I mean, lots of them. Homer. There were names that were clearly Native American. Then there were other names that were just weird. They were bizarre. They were things that I had never come across in my parochial little British life. But the one name that really got to me more than anything else was Wasilla.
Oh, Wasilla.
Wasilla, which, you know, this is long before the days of Sarah Palin, so this was not a famous town at all. It's a rather ugly place outside of Anchorage, about 30 miles outside of Anchorage. And I just thought it was very exotic. It was kind of sexy name, Wasilla. And I thought, oh, well, you know, I got to find
native.
Out.
Sounds
yeah,
native.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just Native American and all of that. I thought that. And then somebody said to me, no, 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 it's not Native American. It's All I Saw backwards, right? Let's just go backwards.
All I saw was Russia from my front porch. But like, really...
Okay, she never said that. That was on Saturday Night Live. I'm not one to defend Sarah Palin, but she never said that. That was just Saturday Night Live. She just said you could see Russia from Alaska, and she's right. You can. So anyway, so Wasilla was this just completely all I saw. So for years, for decades, that's what I believed. I believed that Wasilla was all I saw backwards. And I thought, you know, that this is a kind of classic American naming where they've ripped up the rules of how you name places and have just decided, oh, you can name something backwards just because somebody came here and saw a lot and said all I saw and... You know, what does it sound like backwards? It sounds kind of like a Native American name, so that's what we're going to call it. Well, it turns out I was completely wrong, and whoever it was who told me was either pulling my leg, which I don't think he was, actually. I think he believed it. And in fact, it is named after a Native American chief. His name is slightly differently spelt, so Wassila, as opposed to the town as it's now called, Wasilla. He was a chief of the Dena'ina. I don't think I've said that right. Now, nobody's quite sure exactly how he got that name. It's either derived from a Dena'ina word, meaning breath of air, or it's derived from a Russian name, because the Russians also owned Alaska for a while. So certain names got Russified, and the Russian name would be Vasily.
Ah, that makes sense.
Which is basil in English, and so and a very popular name in Russia.
So all I saw, total rumor.
Total rumor. And in fact, even the name that we have now, we're not 100% sure how it got to be that.
But like your sneaking suspicion that it was a native name actually was right.
I guess so.
Well, speaking of Russia and America and those combination of the two, today to kick off the series, we have a story from Alina Simone. She's our, you know, reporter and expert on all things quirky and Russian or Ukrainian. And she was curious about all the towns in the U.S. named Moscow. Turns out there are 26 of them.
Oh, my goodness. 26 Moscows?
Yeah, there are 26.
Wow.
I knew that there were a few Moscows. I had no idea that there were 26 originally.
I know, that's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah, I knew there were a few, and I was pretty shocked to discover that there were 26. And what I found curious, actually, wasn't that they were originally named Moscow, because I knew that, you know, the United States, it's been around for a few hundred years, and so
sure.
has Moscow, and relations between the two countries have had their highs and lows, and
sure.
I figured, well, there were times when we were allies in wars, and, you know, why not name your town Moscow? What really surprised me was that they hadn't changed their name during the Cold War. So I was pretty excited when I found out there was this professor who also was Russian-American, who had this same question and kind of had that same reaction. When Ren Vasiliev, now a professor of geography at the State University of New York Geneseo, was a graduate student, she decided to tackle the riddle of America's many Moscows. It was 1986, and in those misty pre-internet days, a project like this required a lot of analog legwork.
I wrote to their historical societies.
She pored through old county history books, but most of these Moscows didn't have much to do with the Russian capital. They weren't even pronounced Moscow.
No, some of them were Moscow. The ones in the south would have had a southern drawl, which it would have been the Moscow kind of thing. And that Moscow was one of the folk tales that people would tell as to why a place was named Moscow.
Ren's story was confirmed when I called up an actual resident of Moscow. Indiana, that is.
Is Jack Baldwin happy?
Jack was born and raised in Moscow and was always curious about his town's name.
And I would ask all the old folks there in town if anybody knew how the town got its name. Well, I got all these folky answers like, well, it's because of the moss in the river, and it used to send the cows down there to graze on the moss, Moscow. And then Moscow, like belonging to your mothers, yeah. And just, you know, nobody really had any idea where the name came about.
But despite what locals believed, Moscow, Indiana, in fact, no Moscow in the United States, was ever named after Ma's lost cow. That didn't mean these places didn't get their names from unlikely sources, like Napoleon.
Oh, Napoleon. The fact that the regular people, the peasants in Moscow and surrounding areas beat the living daylights out of this world leader and his army, that was really impressive over here. Because here we are, you know, this upstart country, and that was really great news. And so a lot of new places named themselves after Napoleon's defeat.
But most Moscows weren't named for anything remotely connected to Russia. Tennessee's Moscow was an anglicized version of a Native American word meaning between two rivers. Other Moscows were the result of a misunderstanding, like the case of Moscow, Kansas, which tried to name itself after Luis de Moscoso, a Spanish conquistador. They decided to shorten the name to M-O-S-C-O, but when they submitted an application to create a post office,
it had W at the end of it because the guy in D.C. thought that these little, you know, silly people in Kansas didn't know what they were doing and had spelt the name wrong. So he had added that W on it.
But the biggest reason to name your community Moscow, she learned, was for a simple bureaucratic reason. All the obvious names were taken.
Things like Spring Valley or Springfield or Blossom Hill or, you know, those kinds of really pretty generic names were already taken. And so people started using what were considered exotic names, hoping that no one had already used them.
Yes, there was one lonely Moscow, Moscow, Pennsylvania, that was allegedly named by actual Russian people. What's the story there?
There was a guy. There's always a guy. Okay, here. Lackawanna County, Pennsylvania. There was a guy named Reverend Rupert who came to the site back in 1830. And it was said that Moscow was named for Moscow, Russia, by early settlers, possibly Russian-German Lutherans.
If that's true, there's no proof of Moscow, Pennsylvania's Russian settlers today. Just ask Erzhan Aysabai, who's writing a book about the Moscows of America.
I visited all of them, all 26.
Erzhan was born in Kazakhstan, but attended college in the original Moscow. He launched his project hoping that America's shared love of Russia's capital city might help bring the two countries together. But as Erzhan drove from state to state, his dream of finding a Russian connection dwindled, and some of America's Muscovites turned out to be less than supportive, like in Moscow, Texas, where he tried to strike up a conversation with a local.
So I approach her, I say, hi, my name is so-and-so, and then, you know, I'm writing a book about Moscow's, and then, you know, she looks at me like with, you know, complete, you know, mistrust, and she's like, you should leave. Okay.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, I said, and then once she, you know, like a closed her, you know, like a windows, I kind of saw that, you know, something that looked like a gun.
Oh no.
And I got a bit scared. This was my last Moscow. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to die in my last Moscow.
Moscow, Texas, by the way, borrowed its name from Moscow, Tennessee, where one of the town's founding fathers was born. In Moscow, Pennsylvania, the Moscow supposedly founded by real Russians, Erzhan combed through the archives and graveyards looking for Slavic surnames. But
unfortunately, I did not get any Russian names.
23 states. It was a long way to travel to come up empty. Was he bummed?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was a bit. You know, I was like hoping to see something Russian, you know?
When I put the same question to Professor Vasiliev, she had the opposite reaction.
I was actually pleased that the Americans who were settling here were taking Moscow as a name, thinking of it as a prestigious name. People don't want to live in a place that isn't prestigious. A name can indicate prestige, even if the place is just a four corners with nothing, right? People want it to be something other than, you know, Hogs Hollow, which was the name of the biggest Moscow in the United States now, Moscow, Idaho.
Maybe the real mystery here isn't why so many towns were named Moscow, but why they stayed that way through the permafrost years of the Cold War. Professor Vasiliev's research shows that only one Moscow, the town now called Leicester in New York, cast the name aside after the communists came into power. But the rest of the Moscows not only kept their names, they celebrated them. Back in 1980, the town of Moscow, Kansas, population 228, even offered to host the Olympics when the U.S. boycotted the games being held in Russia that year. Politicos in Washington, D.C. may not always be happy to hear the word Moscow, but for the many Muscovites of the USA, like Jack Spalding in Moscow, Indiana, it just sounds like, well, home.
I'll tell you what, it's just a great place. Moscow was always my town, you know.
So, Alina, after meeting these two folks and going on this kind of adventure through them of all these different Moscows, were you surprised at all by what you learned or disappointed that there was no actual Russian connection, it seems?
I was surprised that there was no Russian connection because it just seems like such a definite name. Like, why would you want to name your town after this remote probably in those times quite exotic foreign capital, in that I think that immigrants to the U.S. were much more familiar with the Londons and the Parises. I mean, I also just thought it was really funny, this search for originality, you know, that people were like, oh my God, you know, all the good names are taken.
Right. We can't be like, Hogs Hollow. No.
Right.
There's so many more Russian town names. So this made me think about all the other Russian names, like St. Petersburg, Florida.
St. Petersburg's a big one, yeah.
Odessa, Texas. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got that Ukrainian connection. Now you're going to look into Odessa, Sebastopol, California.
Oh my God, I'm so busy. I gotta go, Nina. My plate is full. I have work for the next 2 years.
I know. Oh, this is one other question I had for you. Is there any American named towns in Russia or Ukraine that you know of?
Not that I know of, no. During the communist era, the issue of place names in general was so sensitive. I mean, you're talking about like cities changing not only their name, but the names of all their main streets to communist leaders.
That's true.
A lot of times, like, you go to Russia and it's like there are old people still referring to the streets by their original names, you know, and now they've changed them all back.
Uh-huh.
So that's like another complication. You have people being like, this street, you know, which was actually this street, you know, in case you are confused about which street that is now.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me think that if place names were so important that names of cities were changed because they reflected some sort of historical person that was anti-communism, that there's some power to them. That is maybe the reason that Erjan felt like in America, too, names meant something.
I think an argument could be made for, like, you know, the government imbued place names in the Soviet Union with more power than maybe our government does, like maybe because it's just more of a laissez-faire, like name your town what you will, you know what I mean? There
right.
are examples here in the U.S. of places like selling the naming rights to their town, you know, to the highest
bidder. No, it's
bidder.
True.
Like, there are a couple of towns like what, named after, you know, game shows or I don't know. I mean, you
truth
probably know better
and
than
consequences
me.
Truth or consequences.
New Mexico,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, in Russia, I think that names were taken more seriously as a tool of indoctrination. If you had the power to rename like every street in New York, you know, based on your political ideology, that
would
really
be?
Seep into people's consciousness. You know,
what
if you if they had to like 50 times a day refer to streets that reflected some certain political slant, it couldn't help but affect things.
Thanks so much, Alina, for exploring all of the Moscows in the United States. So, Patrick, just goes to show naming politics.
Yeah, it's
all
about politics and history.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I did want to share one thing that Alina sent me that actually mentions Moscow, Idaho, the biggest Moscow or the most populous Moscow in the United States. It's a song by the country comedy duo Pinkard and Bowden. And before I play it, fair warning, it's just offensive. It's a completely offensive song. Mm. And the video, it's even more offensive, but I just had to play just a little bit of it for you just because I wanted your reaction.
Well, there ain't no PLO down in Arab, Alabama. And up in Paris, Tennessee, they don't eat escargot. And Irish people don't shoot each other in good old Dublin, Georgia. And there ain't no one named Gorbachev in Moscow, Idaho. And the streets of Berlin, Maryland ain't got no iron curtain. And folks from Cuba, Missouri ain't out hijacking planes. And people that live in London, Kentucky don't talk like Richard Burton.
See, it's just plain wrong in so many ways. And so, I don't know, apropos of this election cycle. I don't,
yes.
Need I say that?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And they just get their facts wrong. Richard Burton is from Wales. He's not from London. He famously has a Welsh accent. And that thing about they said about the Irish don't shoot each other in Dublin, Georgia. I think he got Dublin confused with Belfast, maybe. I don't know. Dublin was actually an incredibly safe place to be during the so-called Troubles in Ireland. I would imagine in Dublin, Georgia, there's an awful lot more shooting going on than there ever was in Dublin, Ireland.
bet. But what I liked about the song is that it actually pinpoints all of these places around the U.S. that are named after other places. It kind of points to like how much we take from other places. But you get the picture.
So, yeah. Boy, do I get the picture.
Anyway, if you have a name tag story that you'd like us to investigate, a question about a town name or a street name or a building name, you know, any kind of place name that is curious, please, please tell us about it.
Yep. And you can email us at language@pri.org, or you can send us a message on Facebook at the World in Words page, or tweet us at LingoPod.
And that is all for this week. Except, I could never forget this.
The World in Words is made possible in part by the National Endowment for the Humanities, celebrating 50 years of excellence.
And the accent is?
The accent is Boston. And not surprisingly, many people got that right, including Angie Knight, Lucy Randall Tapley, and Morgan Fitzpatrick Andrews. And Morgan Fitzpatrick Andrews, he went one step further, actually. He got the neighborhood right.
Yes, he did.
In Boston.
Not even just the neighborhood, the like part of the neighborhood, South Alston.
Incredible.
Very good.
Deep knowledge.
We'll be back soon with a new Funder accent quiz and a new podcast, of course. And if you get a moment, please, please review us on iTunes. It helps so much. And we'd really, really appreciate it. As always, thanks so much for listening.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.